Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, idiot chief. For my life with songs of grief, with the yellow fear and fearless eyes. He's temper all the times, the times I
survive. Two Dudes Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer dude and a judge.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am still just a dude.
Well, I'm here trying to eat the mic, so to make sure that my voice is up, I guess it was a little low last episode.
Yeah, I figured you were low on energy or something. You just wore out or something. I'm not sure. I think it was that tunnel of a beard you were trying to talk out of. It muffled it all.
Well, I'm not used to recording here in this other space as much, and I think I probably drifted away from the microphone a little bit.
That could be, or it could be that furry tunnel you're talking out of.
I'm just really not comfortable with that whole term, furry tunnel.
Hey, it's on your face. Don't blame me.
Well, we're still in the midst of the coronavirus and social distancing and all the different things that go along with that. Which is
Yeah, we love that.
No, I'm not too much of a fan of this whole pandemic.
No, I'm not either. I don't. It's just getting old.
Yeah, you can say that again.
You know, you never thought you'd miss the simple things in life so much. Like, you know, you weekend comes up, you say, "What do you want to do?" Well, we can't do nothing. We can't go out to eat. We can't go watch a movie. We can't go sit in the park. Hell, they got mad at everybody for going to the park. They wouldn't even let you go there.
Well, that's because everybody decided they wanted to walk together holding hands, I think.
Well, I don't know about that. Now, there were some kids like playing frisbee football and some things like that that is not advisable. But for the most part, like Mary and I would go down there just so we could get a walk in. We didn't bother anybody. We didn't talk to anybody or touch anybody. We just walked.
When you say frisbee football, what exactly are you describing? You mean ultimate frisbee?
Well, yeah, you know, where you're running back and forth and passing it and you got teams and all that kind of stuff.
They're not tackling each other, are they?
Well, no, you don't play it that way. You just intercept the disc and go back the other way or something like
that's
that.
That's actually a sport called ultimate frisbee.
I always called it frisbee football.
Well, I kind of knew what you meant when he said that.
Well, I didn't know. I never played it. I just seen it.
It's pretty
They played at the beach and in the park.
It's pretty fun to play.
Yeah, it looks like it. Of course, my knees are all wore out, so I can't play anymore.
I've been playing a lot of horse on the basketball rim out in the street, and I've realized now that I'm a little bit older and I'm trying to play basketball on the street, it hurts to jump a bit more than it used to.
Concrete will mess you up. You don't, wood floor, that's why basketball courts are wood floors. They give some. Concrete doesn't give.
Well, when I was younger, I mean, my basketball court at the house was all concrete and blacktop, and I'd jump off that thing for all day and never have any problems whatsoever.
The key word in that sentence was younger. That's the key word. When we're younger, we do all kinds of stuff that when we're older, we pay for.
Well, I'm out there. I was out there in my Crocs, too. I think I need to probably put on some actual real tennis shoes to get some padding to absorb that money a little bit.
I would agree with that.
Well, we're kind of trying to keep it topical with our themes, and this one was emailed to us a couple weeks ago by a listener, and the topic is price gouging. And the email read, "I love the show. What are the laws behind price gouging? Is it not free enterprise? There was a story about someone stocking up on goods and then trying to resell. Thoughts? Dan from Utah." Well, thanks, Dan.
Utah Dan. Utah Dan writing in.
Thanks, Utah.
Yeehaw.
Thanks, Utah Dan. We're glad you love the show. And thank you for the timely topical idea.
Yeah, that's right. Price gouging is sort of akin to eye gouging.
In that they both use the word gouge, but that's about it.
That's right. That's right.
So price gouging, simply put, is when a seller increases the price of something to a level that is considered much higher than is considered reasonable or fair. Usually this happens whenever there is a shortage of a supply or a larger demand. And this can happen a lot of times after there's natural disasters or emergencies, such as what we're experiencing right now. There are a lot of things that people will try to price gouge, and we've seen those in the news here recently, especially toilet paper.
Toilet paper and masks.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was not necessarily price gouging, but kind of hoarding. But people were...
That was hoarding. Yeah, people, there's laws on hoarding, too.
There are. But people were trying to price gouge that, too. And also hand sanitizer, they were trying to buy it low and then sell it high.
Yeah, it's not the stock market. It's life and death, people.
So, in illegal usage, it can be a crime that applies in certain jurisdictions in the U.S. during civil emergencies. So price gouging can actually be a crime in different places. In a less precise usage, just like in common parlance, it can refer to prices obtained by practices inconsistent with a competitive free market and trying to achieve windfall profits. Usually, price gouging is considered exploitative and unethical. Not expletive. An expletive is what you see whenever you see the price of it. You're like, ah!
Yeah. Damn!
Now, it's kind of similar to something called profiteering, but that can be distinguished because the price gouging is usually like a short-term type thing, whereas profiteering takes place over a longer period of time.
Like if a plant shut down that produced something that people like to have, and so there was only a certain supply, so you raise the price up for that, and then everybody had to pay that higher price until that plant started back up.
Yeah, that's right. And that would be kind of a natural phenomenon, too, where you're not raising the price artificially. There's a legitimate reason for it because there is a higher demand and a lower supply.
Well, a lot of times, too, it's that item is maybe more of a convenience item than it is, something that's necessary to survive the natural disaster that's occurring.
Yeah, I actually have a funny story about that I'm going to tell here in a little bit.
Well, I will sit here with bated breath waiting.
And also, price gouging usually has to do, like you said, with things that are essential, too. The things that people have to have. You got to have them.
Well, that's like those two boys from Tennessee. I think they were brothers, and they saw what was happening and that the advice going out was to use hand sanitizer. So they drove around to every Dollar General store in two states or something like that and bought all the hand sanitizer they could buy and then put it up for sale for like $95 a bottle when everybody ran out.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No, that's not cool at all. I mean, we're talking about keeping from a disease from spreading worse, and these guys are sitting on top of a stockpile of hand sanitizer, and they thought it was okay. They called it capitalism.
No, I think that goes beyond the spectrum of capitalism, although there are some people that think it's okay, which I think you want to talk about that a little bit later. But
well, they said that, well, you know, we've done that with some other things, like we've seen certain types of hats trending or shoes trending, so we went out and bought lots of them and then resold them at a higher price. Why is it any different? Well, because people don't die from not getting a pair of shoes.
Yeah, and also they kind of suck for doing that too, in my opinion.
That's right. Like, well, anyway, Amazon cut them off, wouldn't let them sell anymore after they had sold some of it on there, and then the red flags popped up and they cut them off, so they couldn't sell it. And then of course people started finding out, because Amazon ran a story and named these guys. So they started getting death threats and all this kind of stuff. And they're afraid people were going to come and break in their warehouse. They had all of it stolen. I mean, all of it stored.
Yeah.
And take it from them. So then they decided, you know what? Maybe this isn't worth it. And they decided they would drive around and offer it free to different places and everything. They found God all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's a good time to find him. Now, price gouging is not really a term used in mainstream economic theory. But usually what it refers to, if you're using a technical term, is like a coercive monopoly, like we said, that raises price above the market rate. And it's usually higher than what would normally happen whenever you have a competitive environment, because you have certain controls that people are going to use to find the best price for it. So what you're doing is you're isolating all the items, so you're controlling the price of it. So there's not that actual free market type situation there. So even though you say it's capitalism, it's actually more akin to monopoly, which is illegal also.
Right. I mean, you're not colluding with anyone to set the price. You just bought up the supply and you're holding it hostage. I consider it a kidnapping. They're asking for hostage fees.
The U.S. has upheld all the laws that have to do with price gouging in different emergency situations. The Supreme Court has held that this is a valid exercise of the police power that's to preserve order during an emergency. And also, sometimes it's combined with other laws, like we talked about, anti-hoarding, like going out and buying up all the hand sanitizer, even though you might not sell it, but just keeping it all for yourself. Because that also plays hand-in-hand with destabilizing our communities.
Well, it also should be against the law to just be a complete a-hole with disregard for all your fellow human beings.
Yeah. There are 34 states that have laws against price gouging. If the other ones that don't have it might have it after this whole pandemic thing comes around, because it might have brought a bit more of it to light. But usually,
well, they don't have laws per se, but they do have other mechanisms that recognize that they can institute.
Right. I mean, it could also be unfair, deceptive trade practices under different kinds of laws that the attorney general might enforce in each state.
Right.
But I would say that after this, I bet a lot of states pass legislation, or they should, that have to do with whenever there is a state of emergency like this, there has to be some kind of control. Because it just makes it a little bit quicker. Because by the time it gets to the Attorney General and they investigate the Unfair and Deceptive Trade Practices Act and all that, I mean, it could take a little bit of time. But when you have a law that's specifically right on the books just for this, it makes it a lot more swift to enforce.
Well, I mean, because like those guys in Tennessee, they could have contributed to the spread of the disease by making hand sanitizer falsely off the market. I mean, it would have been there if they hadn't gone and grabbed it all up.
Yeah, they were artificially changing the natural supply and demand.
Yes, yes, that was the word I was searching for, artificially. I failed to find it. I just made one up. I didn't make up the word. I just used a weaker word.
Price gouging is usually defined, and there's three criteria that are looked at during it. There's a period of emergency, and the majority of laws apply only whenever there's a price shift during a declared state of emergency or a disaster. So that's the first prong. Whenever we have legal tests, we like to call them prongs.
Prongs.
The second prong is there are necessary items usually. Usually laws only apply to items, like you said, that are essential to survival, such as food, water, housing, and in this situation, hand sanitizer most likely.
Yeah, something to stop the transmission of disease, like masks and hand sanitizer.
And the last prong, or the third prong, would be price ceilings. And laws limit the price that can be charged for given goods. So maybe there's some sort of percentage about the markup that they can go to. Because, you know, honestly, in a time or a disaster like that, getting hand sanitizer might actually be a bit more expensive. It might be it cost a bit more for the truck to bring it there to the store before you buy it. So there might actually be a natural kind of increase in the price, but not an artificial one, and not to a percentage that it's going to make it detrimental to society.
Well, most of them have language that they'll recognize, like up to 10% is not gouging. Over 10% is gouging.
Yeah. And a lot of the states that have these types of anti-price gouging laws and whatnot are areas that are prone to natural disasters. Like one in particular is Florida. Florida has very specific price gouging laws, and they monitor that a lot during hurricane season, especially because that's when that kind of happens a lot.
Well, you know what they say.
What's that?
It's hard to reason with hurricane season.
They do say that. I think that was coined by Jimmy Buffett.
I believe that's where I heard it. He said it more melodically.
And like I said, usually these price gouging things are referred to the Attorney General of each state. So if you come across any price gouging, the Attorney General or a position like that in your state, if it might be called something different, they are the ones who safeguard against deceptive and unfair trade practices. They're the ones where you also have to register your business and things like that. So any complaints about business or unfair trade practices are usually directed towards their office, and they're the ones who investigate it. Now, there is a lawsuit that was in the news recently, and I wanted to get to that, and I think you wanted to talk about some people that kind of have theories about why these kinds of laws are bad. But before that, I believe we have a motion before the court.
Yes, if it pleases your honor, we'd like to approach the court to the court bench to pay court costs. There's a lot of courts going on there.
Just go ahead.
I'm hoarding them all. I'm going to sell them later.
You're hoarding all the words and trying to spit them all out. All right, who do we have on the docket, Tommy?
We have on the docket a brand new advertiser we're proud to add to Court Appointed, and it's Skylight Frames.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for mom or another loved one? We have the perfect gift right here.
It's Skylight Frames. Sometimes you can't get together with people as often as you'd like to, and that's why we like Skylight Frames. It's a touchscreen photo frame you can email photos to, and they appear in seconds, so everyone can see your favorite moments.
Even if you live far away, or in this instance, even now, you could live close and still not be able to see each other, it's a great way to stay connected. If you get a Skylight Frame, you can send new photos to it almost every day. It's a really easy way to see what people are up to and to stay connected.
Did you say new photos or nude photos?
Whatever you want.
That adds a whole new context to it I never thought of. Multiple people can send photos to the frame, so it's a great way to keep large networks of friends and families in touch.
It sets up effortlessly in under 60 seconds. Just plug it in, use a touchscreen to connect to your wireless network, and enjoy.
Sending photos to Skylight is effortless. Everyone in your family can just email photos to Skylight, and they'll pop up in the other person's home in seconds.
There's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't love your Skylight, they'll offer you a full refund.
You can preload it with your favorite photos for a special gift upon delivery.
Now, Justin and Sydney, didn't they get you and Mary a gift like that one time?
Yeah, we have one of these type things. Now, it's not a Skylight frame. It's a different one. But you had to load all the photos on up front, and you never got to, you can't update it unless you come there and physically handle it.
Yeah, you have to stick a wire into it and upload the pictures.
Yeah, we still have Charlie when she's a newborn, and there's nothing on there of Cooper. And I would love to have the convenience of just them shipping us new pictures and having those in there, and then we could see both our grandchildren instead of only one that no longer looks like she does in the pictures.
And that's why Skylight is perfect for this time right now. One Facebook review said, "This is such an isolating time as we are just trying to keep my grandma safe and healthy, but this gives her a little glimpse of us every day. And when we talk on the phone, she can talk to the boys about the pictures we sent."
Yes, and when they get these photos, they can just tap on the heart button and it will let the sender know you love the photo. This makes the frame interactive and fun to use.
Now, as a special holiday offer, you get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter the code COURT.
That's right. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter code COURT.
That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com and code COURT.
So we'll be seeing you in your Skylight frames. I mean, if you want a picture.
Are we going to start sending out pictures to people's Skylight frames?
Yeah, they just give us their code or whatever, and we'll send them pictures of us.
Here's a picture of my hair tunnel on my face.
Yes, here's Mike's furry tunnel.
Now, you said that some people have some different ideas about price gouging and why it should be okay, right?
Well, yeah, and it really surprised me because, you know, it's like if you ask me, do you think anybody's in favor of price gouging? I would have said, well, no, nobody's in favor of that. That's like saying, are you in favor of bad actions? No, I'm not in favor of bad actions, you know? But yet, I read in here, and there's certain economists that say that there's no such thing as price gouging. It's just the law of supply and demand. And they say that according to their views, high prices can be viewed as information for use in determining the best allocation of scarce resources for which there are multiple uses. Many libertarian economists oppose price gouging legislation and argue that it prevents goods from going to individuals who value them the most and not just to those with the greatest wealth. Now, to me, that is who gets them, those with the greatest wealth.
Right.
You know, if you allow price gouging, because there might be people that have a really bad need for them, but they can't get them. So I'm not an economist, But I don't follow that line of thinking.
Well,
the example they used is, after a storm has felled numerous trees in a locality, advocates of this theory claim that a rise in the price of chainsaws will discourage their purchase by people with only a minor need for them, making them more available for those with the strongest need, rather than the most wealth. Well, wealthy people are going to buy it whether they really need one or not. It's people that don't have all the disposable income that will say, well, I can't afford one, whereas other people might say, well, I'm going to plunge my family into debt they'll never get out of and go buy a chainsaw because there's a tree through my bedroom.
Well, I mean, I understand the whole theory of it in a pure laboratory type setting. Like, yeah, okay, I can see what you're saying. And maybe that is a true free market economy. But if it is, that's not what we want to have in our society, I don't think. I think we need to have a few checks and balances like that to make sure that it doesn't get changed around like that, because we, as a society, we need to protect people as well. And that's kind of the role of government, I think.
Yeah, and here's another example that they use. This is probably a good one comparing to the situation we're in. It says, critics claim that laws against price gouging could discourage businesses from proactively preparing for a disaster. One example given in support of this view is that a business could install an expensive emergency power system for power outages. However, if it is prohibited from large price increases, the cost cannot be recovered during the relatively short amount of time when there is no power. As a result, a business that proactively prepared could not compete with others that did not. So, you know, I guess what they're saying is, if you're worried about these things, that all the hospitals should have had large supplies of masks and you know, gloves and hand sanitizer and everything already laid in. But do we really want hospitals stocking up on all those kind of things, so just in case, and raising all the prices of medical care so that they can buy these stockpiles?
I don't think so.
I don't either. That's what I mean. I'm no economist, but I don't agree with that. But this evidently isn't just a few odd birds out there in the weeds. This is a whole group of people that believe that price gouging is just the natural laws of supply and demand.
Well, there's also people out there that believe that courts don't have jurisdiction over them because the flag flying in the courtroom has gold fringes on it. So people are...
I'm a free man!
People are going to believe whatever they want to believe.
Well, that's true. If you believe that, I got some swamp land down in Florida I'm going to sell you.
Now, there's been a couple of lawsuits recently, and it's been filed by 3M, and they're one of the main manufacturers of the N95 respirator masks, the masks that everybody really wants. They have filed legal actions in federal courts, most recently in Florida, against an Orlando-based defendant that twice attempted to fraudulently sell tens of millions of likely non-existent 3M masks at grossly inflated prices to the Federal Division of Strategic National Stockpile. And they were falsely affiliating themselves with 3M. So they were saying, oh, we're part of 3M. We'll sell you these masks, but, you know, free market. The cost is going to be more for them. But they actually had nothing to do with 3M.
Well, I don't see how 3M's got a lawsuit, but I can see how the state should move in and get them for fraud.
Oh, well, if they're saying they're related to 3M and they're part of their company, you know, then I think they definitely have the ability to step in and do that. That could damage their reputation.
Well, yeah, if it was true, but I think that 3M could have proven it wasn't true.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't matter. Once your reputation is damaged in the public eye, you can't change that.
Oh, okay. So it's their public perception, not whether it's true or not.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. And they filed lawsuits in Florida, New York, Texas, and California, and they are really trying to fight price gouging and counterfeiting of their products. The complaint is wanting injunctive relief to require Gefteco LLC, that's the company in Florida, to cease its illegal activities and also request damages. And 3M says they will donate any damage recovered to the COVID-19 related nonprofit organizations. Gefteco has said that the prices are 3M's fault and say that 3M has changed prices several times just in a few days. But 3M has shown that they have not changed their prices whatsoever. So they were trying to falsely say that the reason why the prices were so high was because of 3M, but that wasn't true. And 3M released a statement. It was kind of a pretty strong statement. 3M will continue to take action against those who exploit the demand of for N95 respirators used by healthcare workers on the front lines of the COVID-19 fight. We will continue to work with state, federal, and international law enforcement to root out illegal behavior and put a stop to it. So they probably read in the news, like, 3M is trying to sell their respirators for higher prices. They're price gouging. And that could really hurt their company if that gets out. And so they're taking a really strong stance to defend against that because they're not doing it.
All those guys should be in jail, the ones at that fake scam company.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that 3M has said that we're not related to this company at all. And as a matter of fact, the number of respirators they're saying they can supply, they don't even exist. And we can't make them that fast. So this is you know, it's completely fabricated.
It's a scam.
It was.
And that's, you know, there are so many people, you really see the worst in people in something like this. When you step up and start committing scams because you can, because everybody's in a panic and people are worried for their life and stuff like that, that's like you had these tents setting up that people were giving false tests for the coronavirus.
Oh.
And you'd pull up in line and you had to pay $200 and they would administer a test that wasn't even accurate anyway. They weren't real. They weren't real. They didn't have tests. They were all just scammed. They just got a fold out cabana like you take to the beach and set it up and put on gowns and said they were doctors.
Should you all really be drinking margaritas here while I'm getting this test?
Yeah. Yeah, it was unbelievable. People have the nerve to do that.
So I said 3M has filed multiple lawsuits. They filed one in New York against Performance Supply and claimed that they had offered to sell $45 million worth of N95 respirators to New York City government officials at inflated prices. They filed a lawsuit in California against Utah-based RX2Live LLC because they were trying to price gouge California-based healthcare provider Community Medical Centers. And they said they were a distributor for 3M. And on April 10th as well, 3M filed a lawsuit in Texas against a John Doe, I don't think that's his actual name, for falsely claiming to be a 3M company trust account. And he was able to sell millions of 3M brand N95 respirators at inflated prices to New York City government officials. So there's two different entities there who are trying to take advantage of the situation in New York right there.
Yeah.
Which is just despicable. And so they said that we're going to take a strong action to protect our brand and protect the community from these false sales, because ultimately, if New York City gives all this money to these companies and they can't deliver it, then that's not a bottomless pit. I mean, that money is coming from somewhere. It's going to hurt everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you know, we will need to change the way things are done in the future concerning this pandemic, and hopefully people will be prepared. But, you know, we had a situation where the federal government and the states were all bidding against each other for different PPE equipment that they needed. And, you know, that's not the way this should work, that the federal government and the states bid against each other as to who needs it the most. There should be a set way that they are set up and distributed to who needs them most. And if there's several people that tie in that, then they distribute what they can to each.
It's almost like the government needs some sort of constitutional amendment or something in the Constitution that allows them to regulate interstate commerce so they can assert authority over stuff like that. If only we had something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think, though, what happened is you had a bunch of states that felt like nobody's helping us. We're going to go at this ourselves.
Yeah.
And there was no coordination or anything. So they really need to think about that in the future, how they're going to coordinate supplies and things like that.
Maybe set up some sort of a national level pandemic response team or somebody. Might be a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be all right.
So I've got my own story about price gouging. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's not,
who did you gouge?
It's not serious like the N95 mask, but it's still pretty annoying because it doesn't deal with essential things. So we've been doing a lot of jigsaw puzzles lately since we've been spending so much time at home.
I hate jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, we love them. And we found one certain style of puzzle that we like a lot. They're 1,000-piece puzzles, and they're taken from different covers of the New Yorker magazine. So, because I really like to read the New Yorker, the art's always good, and it's kind of a timeless type style for the New Yorker magazine. And so we ordered one from Amazon back in early March when we knew we were going to be stuck in the house a good bit more. And it came 2 days later with Prime. It was reasonably priced. I think like maybe...
Is this an ad?
No, it was like $20 or something. so we finished that one towards the end of March, and we needed a new one. And we noticed as we started looking for them, as we were getting closer to finishing that one, that more and more puzzles were sold out, especially the New York puzzlers, the New York puzzles, the ones we liked. So, you know, we figured, well, I guess, you know, more people are buying puzzles, they're stuck in the house. And so we found one and we ordered it, and it came 6 or 7 days later. The shipping wasn't quite as fast anymore because, you know, with different things going on, and puzzles just aren't quite as important as other things, I guess.
I guess not.
So we blew through that one pretty quick, and we decided to go ahead and order another one because this was, you know, we were really enjoying this. We put on a movie and TV and do some puzzles.
Did you ever think to order two at a time, or was that just too extravagant?
Well, we don't want to hoard things.
Oh, okay.
But here's the weird thing. All of the New Yorker puzzles that we had been buying, they were all sold out on Amazon. So Stephanie went to the actual place that makes the puzzles, not I forget the name of the company, but they have their own website. And she picked out 9 or 10 from that website that thought we might like, and we all sat around, kind of looked at them and debated it. And it probably took a day or two for us to pick one we liked to order. And we finally did. It was sold out. We couldn't get any more because they had sold out on that website too. So I went back to the Amazon website and started searching again for the same New Yorker puzzles to see if maybe they had been refreshed on there. And here's what I found. Those same puzzles that we were buying for $20, they were now like $80 and $90 for a jigsaw puzzle.
So somebody saw they were going, they bought them all up, and then they were reselling them at a higher markup.
I think so. And I saw one that was only $25, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh, there's one. But then I looked at it, the shipping was $25. So I'm guessing that somebody maybe put that lower price on that one and then put the shipping that much because maybe Amazon has algorithms that detect when prices go up like that on certain items.
Yeah, the shipping, they do.
The shipping might be a way to kind of like get around that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to use this forum, our podcast, to put whoever is gouging these New Yorker puzzles on blast. Whoever you are, I want you to know that you suck and screw you.
And you know what else you should have told him?
What's that?
The jig is up.
It was really infuriating. I couldn't believe it. I mean, to think that these puzzles are now $80 and $90, like that doesn't make any sense.
That's artificially inflated.
It is. It absolutely is. So
people are schmucks. I don't understand it. Some people, they just wait for an example to wait for an opportunity to bring out the worst in themselves.
I agree.
And the people that think that's free enterprise, you're wrong. You're just dealing in giving out sorrow and misery.
So I have one other kind of funny disaster type limited quantity supply of items type story that I wanted to tell.
Toilet paper?
Nope. Has nothing to do with toilet paper. So,
oh, okay.
I used to live in the Florida Keys, as you know, and I evacuated for a hurricane one time and went up the coast a little ways to surf some of the waves from the storm. Because usually when you have hurricanes come through, that's when the waves are pick up quite a bit in Florida.
Catch a tasty wave, man.
All I need are some tasty waves, a cool buzz, and I'm fine. That's my Jeff Spicoli.
Okay, Spicoli.
So I started driving back after evacuating, and there was a little damage down the Keys, but not a lot. I think the power was out, and there was, you know, some of the stores were shut down, things like that. And I asked one of my friends if they needed anything or wanted me to pick anything up on the way down, and he said he needed some C batteries. So I told him, sure, I'll get you some C batteries. I'll pick some up, you know, on my way back down the interstate. So I stopped at a couple stores, and I couldn't find any because they were sold out too, evidently, from the storm. People were buying batteries. And I was getting to one of the last places that you can buy stuff before you hit the turnpike through South Florida. Because once you get on the turnpike, there's not really many exits. It's kind of a straight shot. So I stopped at a gas station, and the power was out there from the storm. So they were shut. And I couldn't go in there to look for any batteries. I thought, well, I guess I'm not going to get them any batteries. But then I looked across the street, and I saw there was an adult entertainment store. And I thought to myself, I bet they have batteries in there.
If not, they'll charge your battery.
So I went in and I asked him, and their power was out too, by the way. It was dark in there. It was a little strange. And I said, hey, do you have any C batteries? And they said, well, why do you need them? I said, well, I'm headed down to the Keys, and my friend needed some batteries, I think for a flashlight or something like that. The power's out, and he asked me to pick some up. And the guy said, well, I'll tell you what. I don't sell them, but I have a bunch of them back here behind the desk that we give out when we somebody purchases something that needs some batteries. He says, how about I give you six of them for free? Mm. I was like, thanks, porn dude. So he gave me six free C batteries. And I took him down to my friend, and that's how I found batteries for him in a time of need.
You know how those batteries are spelled, don't you?
How?
S-E-E batteries.
S-E-E batteries?
C batteries. When you're in an adult store. Well, they talked about that sales of those particular devices have gone through the roof. Those are probably something else that's being marked up in this time of people being isolated.
You're probably right.
I read that, really. I'm not making that up. I read that.
You know, conversely, I think I read somewhere that Pornhub, one of the major porn websites, is giving away memberships for free during this.
Well, here's the thing that was really strange to me. They say the number one thing people are searching for instead of mom porn, which it usually is social distancing porn. I don't even know how you have social distancing porn. I'm not sure what that looks like. There's got to be like 10-foot poles involved or something, or at least 6-foot poles.
There usually are 10-foot poles involved, Tommy. I don't know.
I don't know how that works. But they said the number one requested or search is social distancing porn. I don't know how that happens. I'm just getting too old. I can't even, my imagination doesn't even work good enough.
Well, that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
Hopefully got.
We're a little slow on that. It's harder this way.
It is. Hopefully got better this time.
Yeah. So I was watching your furry tunnel move and trying to match its movements.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where we talk about different legal terms we discussed. And this one's going to, I didn't actually define too many legal terms, but there's some different theories here that I want to get with Tommy and see if he knows what they are.
Relativity.
That's a theory, but it's not one we're going to be talking about.
Oh, okay.
What's scary is that I actually knew exactly where your mind went on that. That's
that's a theory that you're related to everybody within five steps.
So the first term is injunction. And I said that 3M was seeking an injunction. So what is an injunction generally?
That means you can't do no more of what you're doing. We're going to stop you right there, bud. Don't move until we sort this thing out.
And from previous episodes, do you know what kind of remedy that is?
It's usually it just you get them not to do it. I don't think you get a financial remedy.
Well, you're sniffing around the right tree there.
Yeah,
it's
they can't do it. I don't know.
It's an equitable remedy.
Oh, equitable.
Yeah, so you're asking for equity from the court. It's not a remedy
like the old equity courts they used to have, huh?
Yeah, it's not a remedy at law. It's not something where you're seeking different kinds of monetary damages. It's an equitable relief. You're asking the court to essentially find equity in the situation. And
you're saying it's not fair what they're doing. I want justice, and say, well, this will make it fair and equitable.
Yeah. And you can also get emergency injunctions. An emergency injunction is if something happens, and basically, if it does take place, you're not going to be able to recover from that. So you can seek a permanent injunction, which would enjoin somebody from doing something essentially forever. Or, and oftentimes what happens is people, when they file these things, they'll file for an emergency relief and also permanent relief. So it's like they're asking the judge to say, hey, judge, if you don't grant this emergency injunction right now, then I'm not going to come back from it. And not only that, I need you to grant this injunction so it lasts forever.
Like those people that were trying to sell the 3M masks that they didn't have or may not have had, an injunction against them from ever saying that they were going to sell those.
Right, or the ever saying that they are related to 3M or a distributor of 3M.
Right, yeah.
So the problem with that is that, especially with that situation as I see it, if you permanently enjoin one of these companies, they'll just dissolve and they could form a new company. Chances are that injunction's only against that one company. Unless you name the actual
individuals.
And I think a court's probably going to be pretty reluctant to restrict somebody from selling something. They probably would restrict them from saying they're affiliated with them, but not just from selling it.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. These people that break laws under the name, under a corporate guise, and the corporation, you have to stop it or you get fined. But the people that actually committed the crimes don't get punished, just like all those Wells Fargo executives that were opening up all those phony accounts and encouraging their employees to do that. Yeah. They didn't. None of them went to jail. Wells Fargo got fined, but none of them went to jail. That's just not right.
So the general standard for getting an injunction, and especially an emergency injunction, is that irreparable harm will occur if the act is allowed to continue or if it keeps on going on. So there's really no set of circumstances that can make the plaintiff whole again if this is allowed to occur. So that's kind of the basic standard for it. Now, who do you report price gouging to?
The Attorney General.
That's right.
Of this state.
That's right. And they're the ones who's in charge of consumer affairs. It's also how you can look up and see who owns a business. It's a good way to find out who you're dealing with if you want to know.
I don't know why they need to know what consumers are having affairs. That doesn't seem like that's any of their business.
And the last question, even if you don't have price gouging laws in your state, what is the remedy for you, or what is kind of the theory the Attorney General might be able to stop these kinds of things from going on?
That they are fraudulent. Or something like that that has to do with, I don't know, something.
Has to do with something. It's the Deceptive Trade Practices Act.
Yeah,
almost,
that thing.
Yeah, almost every state has a Deceptive Trade Practice Act. And they'll have something in there which would probably relate to what's going on in this situation. So
that's good. They need something like that.
Yeah. That's it. That's going to do it for Legal Briefs.
Yeah, well, I'm still amazed that there are people that argue that price gouging should be okay, that it's a natural law of supply and demand.
Well, you know, maybe it is, and maybe in a laboratory, it is actually the most pure form of supply and demand. But I don't really think that's what we're striving for as a society. This is my opinion.
Yeah, I'd like to exercise supply and demand on some of them. They're demanding that I supply my foot right up their butt.
Yeah, I'd like to supply a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and somebody's something.
Well, what they really should have done, if they really wanted to get you, is they should have sent you 999 pieces and then said, oh, we have the last piece here. That'll be $100.
I would not buy it.
Now, that would be a hostage situation.
That would. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable Podcast for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out, though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Hello, and welcome to Tommy's Random Thought. Today's random thought is wearing masks in public. I have been slow to adopt wearing a mask when I go out in public. I realize it is for our own good, but it just doesn't seem right. However, I am starting to feel guilty about it because it dawned on me that these masks are to keep you from infecting others rather than to keep you yourself virus-free. So it is what you do as a courtesy for those around you. That means if you don't, well, you're kind of a selfish jerk. In this day of extra stress and panic and depression, I don't want to be an uncaring jerk. Now, finding these masks is another thing altogether, as they are in very short supply. I know they've got a lot of DIYs out there, but I am not very handy when it comes to this kind of thing. The best I can do is see if there is a old bandana that is big enough to fit around my fat head and wear it like an old-time Western outlaw. It's not convenient, but it would look kind of cool. Or I could pull a Bazooka Joe type move and just wear turtleneck shirts up over my mouth and nose. That would be kind of easy to do, even if I did look pretty weird walking around. There were two ladies checking out at Walmart right ahead of me the other day. They looked like a mother and daughter team, as they were both wearing black masks and hats, so all you could see of their faces were their eyes and a little bit of hair. They had two buggies and various plants spread about, as well as some large items and multiples of the same items. They were also paying for different items separately, but it was some from each buggy, not just one and then the other. They had the poor clerk mixed up, and they kept moving stuff from buggy to buggy and trying to help, and I use the term loosely, the clerk out. There was a small appliance they were getting, and as soon as the clerk scanned it and it popped up, the younger one said, "Oh no, that was on sale for half off." So the clerk had to call for a manager to go and check and see what the price was supposed to be. Of course, this caused a delay, and when the manager came back, she said something to the effect of that the item was not on sale. There was one on a nearby shelf that was on sale, and if that was on the wrong shelf, then it might have caused some confusion. The ladies voiced their displeasure and said they didn't want it then. When they finished all their swapping out and complaining and all, I was sure that they were working this as a scam and were a mother and daughter team taking advantage of this clerk and trying to say stuff was marked down that wasn't and trying to slip things past her in the buggy. Then the thought crossed my mind, am I just suspicious because they are both wearing masks and therefore look like they are up to something? It was possible. When I first walked up, after only a few seconds of observing them, I had them pegged as up to no good. After observing that and thinking about it, I figured, I'm suspicious enough looking already. Wearing a mask around, I may end up in jail for something that I don't even know about. I would say, "What did I do?" And the cops would say, "You just look like you're up to no good. So we're nipping it in the bud." Despite these concerns, I have resigned myself to wearing a mask. I have asked my wife, Mary, to make them for me and my staff at work. But I don't want to have black ones like those ladies at Walmart. Just like in the old westerns where the bad guys wear black hats, black masks give that appearance. So I have suggested she get us like SpongeBob material or Elmo character material or something to that effect. I mean, who could be up to no good wearing a cute mask, right? This has been Tommy's Random Thoughts.